You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This next story gets a little bit wonky, but it's worth it. It's about kids in Michigan schools. You remember the No Child Left Behind Act? Well, the Every Student Succeeds Act is the latest federal standard for schools. State boards of education all across the country are issuing draft plans on how they'll meet the new requirements. The Michigan Board of Ed wants public input. They'll have to consult with the legislature, then the governor, and then send it all to U.S. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos for review and approval. The Education Trust Midwest has been looking over the plan and put together a policy brief, an assessment of where Michigan's going, and they released it today. Stateside's Lester Graham spoke with Amber Ariano, Executive Director of the Education Trust Midwest.
Start out with telling me about how Every Student Succeeds plan for Michigan works.
This is a really big leadership moment for Michigan and for our state leaders. And if you think about what ESSA is about and what are these, when we talk about improvement plans, it's really about setting out a big vision to say, okay, where do we want to go for our public education system? Everybody agrees about that we want to be a top 10 education state within 15 to 20 years. And so now the question is, like, how do we get there? You know, how are we going to measure that? How are we going to define what school quality looks like? How do we know if we're reaching the goal or not? What are the metrics behind it? And so this plan is all about those systems that underlie that larger goal.
Your brief starts out by reminding us that in a little more than a decade, Michigan's gone from being a fairly average state among education, and now it's among the nation's bottom 10 states in critical measures for student living. It calls that a devastating fall. How did that happen?
That's a great question. And the truth is that no amount of research is going to definitively, conclusively tell us why that happened. The data just tells us where we're at compared to other states. I think there's sort of a broad agreement that there are lots of things that aren't going right. When we look at the best practices of leading education states like Massachusetts and we look at our system, there's a lot that we're not doing.
Such as,
we were almost 20 years behind Massachusetts in raising performance standards for teaching and learning. While Massachusetts made sure that its teachers were being supported and being trained to teach at this new higher level and really preparing kids for a new global economy instead of the old manufacturing jobs of the past, we have not done that. We've done a really poor job at supporting teachers in our state. Things like making sure that low-income students and high-poverty communities are being much, much better funded. We're now in the bottom 10 states in the country for having among the most inequitable funding formulas in the nation. So there's a lot of different sort of structural challenges that we're facing, and solving those problems all start with leadership.
So that problem you were talking about, underperformance at high poverty schools, what does this plan do to fix that?
Well, what this does is that it basically develops the kind of the underlying systemic improvement plans, right, for things like interventions and supports for low-performing schools, for setting the content standards for teaching and learning in classrooms. Big deal for teachers. As a former teacher, I can tell you that's really important to know. Where am I going as a teacher? How do I define success as a teacher? Things like what the new assessment system looks like, right? So what, you know, I think about it as similar to when I joined Weight Watchers last year, and I set a goal for losing weight. And one of the things that you have to do in a program like that is you go every week and you get on a scale and you see if you're reaching your goal or not. And that kind of system essentially sets you up for more support and more accountability for yourself because you need it. So these kinds of systems are similar to that. They're saying, here's how we're doing against those goals. Here's how we're doing if we're continuing to benchmark against other states. Here's what we need to do in terms of our performance, in terms of catching up with the rest of the country. But all of this is really dependent on making sure that the data is actually honest and aligned with those national benchmarks. And part of what the Michigan Department of Education has been discussing is moving away from a system that is aligned with those national benchmarks. And if they do, it'd be a little bit like when we don't like the scale, throwing out the scale and saying, I'd actually like a scale that tells me that I'm thinner than I really am.
So the schools will look like they're performing better, but they still won't be keeping pace with states like Massachusetts.
That's right. So there's the risk in all of that.
Why change that then? Why not just keep what we have to make sure that we can measure from year to year to year how schools are doing?
There's a lot of ideological theories, right, that are that, as you know, in American politics today, and in Lansing's no different from other states, and that there's a theory out there that, like, somehow that raising performance standards wouldn't be good, or asking more of schools, right, that we should just leave it up to every classroom to sort of figure it out. And, you know, we used to do that 100 years ago, but we stopped doing that. And states like Massachusetts stopped doing that decades ago because they said, you know, we used to have schools that prepared our citizens to work in factories and to not have, you know, strong analytical skills and strong communication skills, and not to be college and career ready, right? Like, so that they can succeed in a post-secondary training program, or they can go to college, right? So today's really different. You know, a lot of parents do want their kids to go to college. They need to know, like, how is my kid going to do on the SAT or the ACT? Those are the things that are now the benchmarks in a much more globally competitive economy.
You talked about underperforming schools, especially high-poverty schools, but right now we're looking at closing 36 schools, possibly, because they're underperforming. And I keep thinking, okay, if they closed all those schools, next year they're going to have another set of 5% low-performing schools. Are they on the risk to being closed, too? Where's the end of it? Where in other states, they actually say, hey, we've got underperforming schools. They're in a high-poverty area. Let's put some more resources in it and get these kids up to grade. Why isn't that being considered in Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question and a great critique. When you look at our systems of support and capacity building and resources for high poverty schools, they are woefully neglected in Michigan compared to a state that does that really, really well like Massachusetts. When we look at African-American students in Boston by fourth grade being almost 3 years ahead of instruction compared to African-American students in Detroit, that tells us that our challenges are not simply just about poverty, right? And that black and brown and poor kids in Michigan can and deserve to be performing and learning at way higher levels. It's we, the adults in the state and the system itself, that are not getting them to that level. So that's where we need to change. We don't want an accountability system that sets up low-performing schools to continue to fail. We want to be fair, right? And so if there is some sort of grading system, right, that says, like, okay, you're a D school or you're an F school, the question is not should we be honest with people about how they're performing against their peers, right, compared to other states and in Michigan. The question is, how do we get them to a higher level, right? How do we better support them, better resource them? And we also want to make sure that the grading system is weighing improvement so that they have a chance of getting off that list. You know, if I'm an educator in Flint and I'm at a really low performing school in the state and we do way better work and our improvement like triples that year, right? Don't I deserve to come off that list? And the answer is yes. Like, that we shouldn't be closing schools that are really, really making huge strides for their kids.
So this plan, this proposal that's been put together by the Board of Ed for the Every Student Succeeds Act, there's your brief that is somewhat critical of it. You have concerns. There'll be public input. As I mentioned, the legislature will go through it. By law, the legislature has to go over it. The governor also will look into it. What do you think we're going to have at the end of all that? Because, you know, once we get the public input and it possibly gets politicized, what do we end up with?
I think the MDE has done really, really thoughtful, meaningful work around reimagining an accountability system that is actually much more fair to high-poverty schools and working-class schools. And it actually is moving away from just focusing on standardized testing, and it's looking at other things like crime and absenteeism, things that we know that research tells us for that really make a difference in making kids successful in learning. So that's the good part. I hope that the MDE will keep a lot of that intact, and we hope that the Michigan legislature won't undermine that great work, because it really is going to move us ahead about two decades in terms of the thoughtfulness of these systems. But we also hope that we can really come to an agreement in Michigan that we shouldn't be lowering the performance standards for our kids. I mean, all of the leading states in the country have raised their performance standards for teaching and learning. Why do Michigan students deserve any lower than that?
That is Amber Arellano. She's the executive director of the Education Trust Midwest. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.